Yes, indeed. That was precious right there. And you know why it was precious? Because Jesus is precious. Someone mentioned about the children. I'm thinking about that. I'm so glad that Jesus loves the children. And that's why our hearts ought to be obviously toward the children at all time. Because Christ is their only hope. Amen. Well, take your Bibles this evening and turn, please, with me to the book of Judges. Judges in chapter number 1, please. Judges in chapter number 1. And again, let me say thank you for your kindness to us and the fellowship, and we just enjoy being here. It's interesting. You go to places. I travel a fair amount and to churches, and I try really hard to be helpful where I can and be a blessing. But we found, Mrs. Arbo and I, she would echo this, several places we've gone recently, the church where we've been has been a blessing to us. And that is special. It really is. And I'm thinking of this service this evening with the children singing, and I love the old songs you folks sing. Don't ever let that go. There's so much in the older songs. There's so much truth and so much doctrine, actually. I would like to say that I'm an intellect. Nobody's ever accused me of that, being an intellect. But I'd like to think because of some learning and some studying and so on, I've learned a lot of doctrine, and I have through preaching and through studying and so on. But you know, the doctrine that was drilled into my life as a kid, I carry with me today. For example, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's doctrine right there. What about the fact that when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. And the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Because of the blood of Christ. I mean, you can't, and this will be an introduction to my message perhaps this evening, but how about onward Christian soldiers marching as to war? Is there anybody in this room that would say tonight, well, when I got saved, the day I got saved, from that day on, I've never had any problems in my life. Nobody's going to say that. Because the late Dr. Lester Roloff wrote a little chorus. He said, it's a battlefield, son, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. That sounds pretty crude, but that's the way it is. We're we're compared to soldiers. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. And we have one grand enemy. Your next door neighbor is not your enemy. Your mother-in-law is not your enemy. The government is not your enemy. I know I'm going to have to work hard on that one. but the truth, understand it. We have an adversary, the devil, who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And he likes to get at us. And so that's why I love those old songs. And I know that you'll keep singing them as long as you're here on this earth, and they're powerful. One of my nephews, Jim, said to me one time, he said, Grandpa, he said, how do you like the 7-Eleven songs? I like 7-Eleven because hot dogs, Slurpees, all that kind of thing. And I said, what are you talking about, Jim, 7-Eleven? He said, well, no, you know, those songs, they have seven words and they repeat them 11 times. You ever heard tell those 7-Eleven songs? Okay, so you're far ahead of me. But that's not gonna get you anywhere. But the good old songs do. Songs about songs about the cross? I find it difficult to say without a wobbly voice. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But on that cross, Jesus Christ died for me. You know the picture of the cross? It's amazing. Picture in your mind's eye. We don't really know what the cross looked like. We have to picture in our mind's eye what it looked like. But there's Jesus nailed to the cross, hanging on the cross for the world to see. Think about this. It's an illustration. It's a picture, if you will. We look at the cross and we see the cross points upward to a place called heaven, where God wants to take us. It points downward to a place called hell, where God wants to keep us from. It points east as far as east can go. You can't measure. You say go east, you can go east forever. If it was the south, there's a pole there. But as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgressions. Isn't that great? The truth of the cross. Well, let's look at some scripture this evening. I'm just going to take a part of a verse, a thought that's been on my heart and my mind. I do pray and ask the Lord direction. Of course, your pastor, when your pastor's with you, he knows what you need without a doubt, every service, and deals with that. And I pray and I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, you give me what you believe folks need there. And I try to heed the Lord regardless. I'd like to preach again on Jesus tonight, after this morning and the songs tonight and how precious Jesus is to us. But that's not in the plan tonight. I want you to look at one verse, Judges chapter 1, and please look at verse number 19. And the Bible says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountains, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you would do that which only you can do, that you'd convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be open and ready and willing to accept what you have for us this evening as far as our personal lives are concerned and our service to you and our relationship with you. I pray that you'd help me as I give the thoughts that you've laid upon my heart. I pray, dear God, that when we leave this place, we'd be stirred, our hearts would be warmed, and we would have a desire, a greater desire, to be drawn closer to you, to love you more, to serve you more. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. I want you to look at again at verse number 19, chapter 1. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Judah. Very interesting story. We won't take time to read it into context, but talk about fights and battles. If I recall, I read the chapter through several times, and I recall there were 10 or 11 battles in this one chapter, in the first chapter of Judges, where God's people were sent in and the battle was taking place. And matter of fact, look at verse number 3. I will read a couple of verses. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and great toes. I'll stop right there because I want to talk about that verse. That's not my message tonight, but think about that. When they cut off your thumbs and your toes and throw the food in the middle of the room, you're in trouble. You get what I'm saying right there? I mean, you can't pick stuff up without your thumb. And you can't run to get your food without your big toe. Anyway. I'll move right along here, but very interesting here. But all I'm saying is there were a number of battles taking place, a number of battles in this very first chapter. And I want you to know this in verse number 19. I want you to remember this one phrase in the verse, and the Lord was with Judah. Remember that. And the Lord was with Judah. Can I say it again? And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. You folks know around here what mountains are, and you know what valleys are. At the Valley View Baptist Church, you got a view of the valley. So you know what a mountain is, you know what a valley is. So it said, but then it goes on to say, drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. And he gives a reason here, because they had chariots of iron. But the Lord was with Judah. Remember that. Chariots of iron, no chariots of iron. The Lord was with Judah. Every enemy he had on the mountain, God gave them victory over those enemies. However, when Judah was in the valley, he could not get the victory because the Bible says chariots of iron were there. Now notice, God was with them. Hey, listen up now. God was with them, yet they couldn't get a victory. They'd won victory after victory after victory after victory. Now they're in the valley, and the Bible says that they lost a battle there because of the chariots of iron. But still, it says in the verse 19, first part of the verse, but the Lord was with Judah. Sometimes it's difficult, even when God is with you. However, hey, how many of you have had a struggle in life? I mean, you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, you read your Bible, you tithe, you pray, you witness, you do all that we're supposed to do as believers, yet we find struggles in our lives, we find challenges, we find ourselves perhaps in a deep hole, and we can't seem to pull ourselves above that. Can I say this evening? It's difficult when you're in the valley. It's difficult when God is with you. However, keep in mind, if God is not with you, it's impossible. Mark that down, because I'll tell you what, if you may not need that today, you will need it down the road somewhere. Because it's, when everything's going wonderful, I think they won 9 battles, if I got my information correctly here. They won 9 battles, but they lost in the valley. Well, 9-1 is not bad. However, when you find yourself in a position where there's a struggle, and it's, you know, the hand of God is upon you, you know that you're doing right, you know that you're right with God, you know where your relationship is in tune with God, you know you're doing your best, and yet you lose, sometimes that can be a downer. Matter of fact, it is. And can I say this? Careful not to judge others when this happens to them. Be very cautious and very careful not to say, hey, I guess the Lord's not really with them. Or how about this? Have you ever said this? I've been guilty of it. My hand's up. I say, I don't believe the Lord's in that. Well, the truth is, I don't know that. The Lord was with Judah, the Bible says here. In your King James Bible, I love that word. The Lord was with Judah. You see, God was with them. You can come up against some things in your life that's not going to be easy, not going to be difficult. But God will be with you. God will be for you. God will be in you. God will be on you. But you will still face the chariots of iron. I think everybody in this room understands what I'm saying, that you will be faced with challenges that are bigger than you. And sometimes, I know you've done it as well as I. I'm sure you've created. Why, God? Why? Why is it I can't overcome here in this area? Can I say this? How about this? Do not be consumed with what you're going through, but allow yourself to be consumed with who is going through this with you. When you were talking about Daniel this morning, I was thinking about the 3 Hebrew children. They're in the fiery furnace. And, you know, you could pray and say, God, deliver me, God, deliver me, God, deliver me. Do you know what? God joined them in the fire. There was one like the Son of God that was in there. They were not delivered, but they made it out, didn't they? Hallelujah for that. They made it out. But understand, that will happen sometimes. And the Lord was with Judah. Can I say this evening? And the Lord was with Ed. And the Lord was with Don. I know a few of your names. And the Lord was with Larry. I think that's my name. But understand, when you go through those times, it happens. It does. Every enemy they had on the mountain was a challenge. They won the battle. But God is not giving you a journey to or a difficult time to hurt you. He gave them 9 victories. How many of you in this room would say, well, I've had some great victories in my life? We all have. Hey, if you're saved, you have a victory right there. This matter of being having the power of God in your life is very interesting. People have misconstrued it in this day and time. But talking about the power of God, you know you have the power of God on your life because you're a Christian. When you get saved, you're witnessing the power of God, according to Romans 1:16. Where's the power of God for salvation for you? That's the power of God right there. I'm not talking about something crazy, something off the wall, something is weird, but the power of God's on you right there when you get saved. That's God's, only God's power can save you. Amen? And God knows we need to understand God's ways are not our ways. We need to understand that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. You will learn something from the losses, perhaps. We learn more from the difficulties and the challenges and the losses in our Christian life than we do from the victories. We enjoy the victories. We celebrate the victories. But the truth is, we going through the deep waters are where we learn, where we're challenged in our Christian life. So the Lord was with them, but no victory because of the chariots of iron. I'm sure that you have said this. Lord, why? Lord, why me? Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why is this happening to my friend? Why is this happening to my employment? Why is this happening to my health? Why is this happening to my circumstances? Why? And we too face those chariots of iron. And by the way, can I say this evening? I grew up in a pastor's home. Back in, obviously, a lot of years ago. And in those days and times, it seemed, as a child, I sort of had the idea that it was wrong or it was unkind or it was maybe offensive to consider asking God why. And then one day, as a teenager, I was reading through the Bible, I discovered a verse. The words of Jesus, and he said, why, God, hast thou forsaken me? What I'm saying is Jesus asked why. Now, the truth is, if it's in black and white in this book, you need not ask why. Amen? The truths of the Word of God. But sometimes we learn by asking God why, and God reveals to us, God opens to us an understanding about why certain things come into the life. But we, too, face those chariots of iron. Can I be candid and perhaps open with you tonight regarding, again, my stories? We all have our stories in this room. Every one of us have our own stories. But things come to the life. Things happen that we don't always understand. I'm a little hesitant to tell this story. I probably have told it 2 or 3 times in maybe 10 years. I retired and began traveling and preaching and so on, and I was, a couple of years went by, and I was preaching in my home church on a Sunday morning. And I was excited. Matter of fact, I was preaching about asking God why. And just enjoying the special time together with folks that I'd pastored for a number of years and so on. And I'm standing there preaching, and everything's going fine. And for some apparent reason, for a very short period of time, I simply lost all consciousness. I didn't pass out. I didn't fall down. I didn't pull a Benny Hinn. I didn't roll across the floor. I stood there, and for a matter of seconds, my mind was completely blank. Now, I struggle confessing this tonight because you're going to say, hey, that's happened when you've been here before. No, it has happened. But for a period of time, I was totally blank. I looked to the pastor, and I said, Pastor, I think I better sit down. This was an amazing event now that I look back on it. I could not see any notes in front of me. I saw faces, but nothing registered. But I was standing, and I said to him, I think I should sit down. What was amazing was he grabbed his Bible and come up, and he had the text open from what I was preaching and just finished the message. And it wasn't my message, wasn't my notes, but he added to it and preached a great message. But immediately after the service, my wife said, this is why the Lord give you a wife. My wife said, honey, I think we better go to the hospital. I enjoyed the rest of the service. I remember the message. I remember the invitation time. I went to the hospital, and immediately when you talk about drawing a blank and you're not seemingly with it, the first thought come to mind was stroke. So, boy, did they act fast, didn't they? I was in being taken care of very quickly, and they examined me from head to toe. They examined my head and found it empty. They examined my heart and found it cold. Not a lot was happening. And I felt fine. It was like nothing had ever happened by then. And then they said to me, Mr. Arbo, we can't really pinpoint anything, and so you're going to have to see a neurologist. They couldn't pinpoint that I'd had a stroke or anything like it. And I don't know. I hope you understand. I hope I don't offend anybody when I say this, but every neurologist needs a neurologist. Sorry, you'll get that after a while. So I had an appointment. So first of all, they gave me some medication, and then the doctor said to me, he said, Mr. Arbo, he said, you may not understand this, but we're going to have to restrict your travels. You can't drive. He said, if we'd have discovered that you had a stroke, then we could give it medication and you could drive. I thought, okay. I live in a rural area. The bus doesn't even go by my place. And at that point, my wife is working. She leaves early in the morning, so I'm stuck on the farm all day. I started to panic. My bicycle has a flat tire. And I don't know if I'm allowed on the road with my bicycle. So anyway, I'll stop the silliness, but for 3 months, I had to have a brain scan. Again, they found nothing. Okay. They lock, have you ever had a brain scan? They lock your head in this box and put you in this machine. And the thing goes, like one of those waterless washing machines. We've got one of those at home, so I know what it sounds like. And for 30 minutes, and the lady says, don't move your head. And I said, it's in a vise. I'm not going to be able to move it. Anyway, I'm leaving, and she passes me a CD. And she said, this is your scan. Take it to the neurologist. And I said, do I have to go back to him? I went there, and he draws, he has a coloring book. And he pulls a page out of the coloring book and holds it up. And he said, what's that letter? Oh, that's an A. And he takes another page out of the book and holds this animal up. And he said, that's a lion. He said, I'm just checking. And I thought, boy, I'm in trouble. And every neurologist needs a neurologist. No, I'm thankful for the doctors. But that set me back, took the wind out of my sails. I'd had good health to that point. And I wonder, you start to wonder, don't you? You start to wonder, will I ever drive again? Will I ever be normal again? That wasn't a big stretch there. I've never been normal. So will I ever preach again? Will I ever be able to serve the Lord again? What about this? If I go somewhere to preach, will it happen again? Right? Right there. You know what I'm talking about. All of you have been through this, I'm sure, where there's something you start to second guess yourself. You start to wonder what's going to happen here. And so I struggled with that for some time. And the Lord was gracious. And they went to the neurologist, and he took a look at the report and so on, and found that everything was fine. And I think it was global amnesia syndrome, something like that, where in your lifetime you can have a 7 to 9 second period of absolute nothing. You don't know. You're blank, right? And then it goes away. Well, it's gone away. Somebody say amen, okay? Help me now. I'm being honest with you. But this was something, it was a big thing in my life. And I thought, why, Lord? I've retired. I'm, to retire means I'm not pastoring anymore. And at that time, every Sunday of the world, I was going somewhere. I was booked to go somewhere. I had to cancel some meetings for a period of time. But you see, you may get to the point where you just wish everything would just go away. Because you've had, I've been greatly blessed in my life. I don't mind saying that at all, because it's all because of Him. I've been blessed with a great family as far as my parents are concerned, my siblings. I've been blessed with a great wife. I've been blessed with great children, great grandchildren, blessed with a living place, blessed with pastoring. The Lord's allowed me all my life to do that. I've had many great victories, but what's it say? And the Lord was with Judah, and He drove out the inhabitants of the mountains, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. That was a chariot of iron right there for me. And you have your stories. But God will see us through. Why, Lord? I've given 50 years of Sundays to You. Lord, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll be what You want me to be. But Lord, why is this happening to me? I pray, I read my Bible, I do all that. I believe in prayer. But the truth is, I remember those period of about 3 months where it seems that sometimes I would start to pray and I'd say, Dear Lord, and I'd be stuck right there. I didn't know what else to say. Lord, please, a little help. Lord, I feel so low. And then I remember the verse, Don, lo, I'm with you always. Yeah. It spoke to my heart right there because I was feeling low. But when Satan shakes your life to the core, and there's no one that can help except Jesus. Hey, by the way, that's why He's precious right there. Because He's the only one that can help. I love the song. I don't have time to tell the story tonight, but you may know the story. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. I have found in Him so friend, so fine and true. I will tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend can do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Charles Weigel wrote the song. He was an evangelist, a very successful evangelist, holding large meetings, preaching the gospel. But he went home one day and found a note on the table, from what I remember, about his wife left a note there and said, I don't want to be an evangelist's wife anymore, and walked off. He spent the rest of his life serving the Lord in some capacity, but that's when he penned those words. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You know, something can come along and change your life, and I know that you know that, just in a heartbeat. But I want to remind you, the Lord is still with you. You see, and please understand that God has a reason. I don't know. Sometimes we don't know for years to come. Sometimes we realize we won't know this side of eternity. But God has a reason for what happens. There are a couple of thoughts can I give you this evening as we wind this up here this evening. Life is very unkind, and much of the time we struggle. I'm thinking that verse that says he's listen to this. He brought me up from a horrible pit. It wasn't just a blip in the schedule. No, a horrible pit, and set my feet upon the solid rock. A couple of things. I think one thought is this, that God wants us, God allows the chariots of iron in our lives. It just sounds tough right there, chariots of iron. But the Lord was with Judah. God allows chariots of iron in our lives because He wants us to totally trust and rely upon Him. Because you know what? Hey, if you won every battle, you know what happens? And again, I speak for me, but I think we're all human in here. So when battle after battle after battle after battle is fought and victories found, humanly speaking, we sometimes allow ourselves to think, well, I'm pretty good at this. But we know it's because of Him. Sometimes our trust wavers. We're trusting more in our own ability or trusting more in our own selves than we are in God. He wants us to trust in Him. And I think that's why He allows this kind of thing to happen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not onto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Hey, how about that? That's a tough one. Lean not onto thine own understanding. That's a tough one right there. Because, well, I understand. Lean not onto thine own understanding. But I understand. Lean not onto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Job chapter 13. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Psalm 2, blessed are they that trust in Him. Psalm 7, O Lord, in Thee do I put my trust. Psalm 20, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Psalm 25, O my God, I trust in Thee. Psalm 31, but I trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Philippians 2, 24, but I trust in the Lord. Hebrews 2, 13, and again I will put my trust in Him. And while we are winning the 9 victories that they won right there, and we have it all together, 9-0 is pretty good, but the truth is, it will come. There will be a time when we face those chariots of iron. You see, all of a sudden, a chariot of iron pulls up, and all of a sudden, we fall from a high altitude on the mountain, and in the valley of deep despair, we doubt there. The pastor prays for us. Our family gathers around and prays for us and with us, and our friends pray for us and so on. Everybody tells us it'll be all right, but we don't have confidence it will be all right because we're shaken to the core because of the chariots of iron. But what does the Bible say? And the Lord was with Judah. See, I can tell you what works here. When God drives you into the valley where the chariots of iron are, and you fall on your face and cry out to Him, the only one who can help. He says, Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee and never forsake thee. You see, God is a God that never changes. I am the Lord. I change not. Your circumstances may change. Your problems may change. Your difficulties may change. And indeed, your life will change. But hell may come after me, but God never changes, and God has promised He'll never leave me and never forsake me, even when the chariots of iron are there and I can't seem to win. Have you ever been there where it just seems you can't overcome something? That's why it's very careful. We ought to be patient with others who are trying to overcome. Say, well, if you really meant business, you'd overcome this. It's easy to say, but not easy to do. He says, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Hell may come after you, but God takes care of you. Turn your Bibles, please. I want to look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You know the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And please look at verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I repeat the verse again? The Lord was with Judah. The Lord was with Judah on the mountaintop. The Lord was with Judah in the valley with the chariots of iron when they couldn't seem to win the battle. The Lord was with them. And that is my concern is that the Lord is with me. Not necessarily the battle, but the Lord is with me in the battle and He'll take care of me. He will see me through. You see, I realize each one of us have faced this in our lifetime. We've called upon the Lord. It seems that nothing comes. There's no answer come. I call on my hands and knees and I pray and I say, Lord, help. Lord, help. Nothing appears to happen right away, but the Lord is with me and the Lord will help me. You see, God is with you, yet even when you're dealing with the chariots of iron, probably you could say like I, that when we're in that position, sometimes we're lied to by Satan himself. He is the father of all lies. And saying this, listen to this. If you were the Christian you think you are, this wouldn't be happening to you. That's a lie right there. Mark it down. He's a liar and the liar of all liars and the father of all lies. Because the truth is, every one of us, tell that to the Apostle Paul. Tell that to the saints who have gone on before, folks have burned at the stake. Tell them that nothing like that would ever happen to them if they're Christians. No, they paid the price, and we go through it too. The truth is, we all face this. I say, if you are saved, you will deal with the chariots of iron in your life. But God is with you. It's not easy traveling. You struggle dealing with those chariots of iron sometimes. God will help you. We sometimes are able to fake it for a while, but that doesn't do the job. We struggle through it, and we don't always understand. We sometimes try to blow it off or try to not admit that it's a struggle, but the truth is, I remember going back to this story I mentioned. I remember where there were times I would pray and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand this. And I'd be praying and I'd sort of just say, Lord, I don't know what to pray about. I don't know anymore. I mean, it was a big thing with me because at the time I didn't know what was going on. The Lord blessed, the Lord took care of things. It's easy to look back and say, oh yeah, past that, that's great. But at the time, serious, and I know that you've been there as well. See, many of us struggle, and we just don't understand. But God is with us, and we're to trust in Him. Then secondly, let me wrap this up. Secondly, I think this to be true. It's also a matter of, right along with this, it's a matter of the Lord humbling us, a matter of humility. You see, God will put you in a place of humility so He can show you and I that, yes, pride can creep into our lives to a point we don't want anybody else to know that we're struggling with something. You know, God allows us to have Christian friends to help us when the struggles are the deepest. You see, we don't want anyone to know that we have a weakness, we have a sensitivity, we have a fault, we have a problem. But the truth is, we all face that. Every one of us are weak. The song says it so well. I am weak, but thou art strong. And the Lord was with Judah, the Bible says. You see, when I want to quit, He's there. When I cry myself to sleep, He's there. When I doubt His work, He's there. When I say like Jeremiah, I will not speak of His name, He's there. He helps me. He shows me. He would break my will and cause me to let my friends love me like He loves me. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see Jesus, to sing the song, and we talk about it. Jesus loves me. But Jesus uses people to shower love upon us, to help us in the difficult times in our lives. Yeah. He's willing to do that. So don't be put off by the circumstances. Don't be ashamed that God's working on you. You know why? When you face those difficult times you go through, God prepares, I believe this to be true, God prepares you to help others that are going to go through the same difficulties. God gives you comfort so that you can pass that comfort on to others when they need that comfort. That's why we ought to be careful, very careful about how quickly we judge folks and say, well, you know, if they were a good Christian, that wouldn't happen to them. Oh, hold on about that. Amen? Just be careful about that. And then, not only to depend more on Him, not only as far as humility is concerned, but also a matter of compassion. The Bible speaks much about this, Jude chapter 1, well, yeah, 20, verse 22. And some having compassion making a difference. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one on another. Romans 9:15, I will have compassion on who I will have compassion. Matthew chapter 9, and Jesus went, when he came out and saw much people, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep having no shepherd. Compassion. How to love people who go through the struggles that you and I have already gone through. Having compassion on others. I grew up in a pastor's home. And most of my friends were pastor's kids. Just the way it was. I remember every couple of weeks we'd get together with pastors in the area and pastor's kids, and those were my friends. And then I went off to a Christian high school in those days. Yeah, they had one. And there I met a lot of my friends, of course, other pastor's kids and so on. It was great. But I discovered something in the later years of school and then getting away from school and so on, that a lot of folks drift away. A lot of folks wander. A lot of young people seek a different direction. And it concerned me and burdened me. And I found myself as a young man talking to my own age group people who had decided to take a different direction. And it would have been so easy for me to point the finger at them and say, you know better. You came from a Christian home. You came from a pastor's home and so on. And I understand you should not wander, but some do. And I had a compassionate heart for them. And I understood that Satan wants to get in, Satan wants to draw people away. And Satan wants to damage the reputation and the credibility of families that live for God. But the truth is, Christ loves them like he loves me. Yes, repentance has to take place. Yes, change has to take place. But don't ever, I mentioned Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff made this statement. He said, don't ever give up on anybody till they're at least dead 4 days. You'll get that after a while. Speaking of Lazarus, of course. But don't ever give up on the person that's wandered away from the Lord. Don't ever give up on them, because God's never given up on you. And but for the grace of God, there go I. And so understand that God allows some things to come into our lives so we'll understand. We'll understand that we too need to be gracious and loving and kind and understanding and have a compassionate heart. So understand here that the Lord was with Judah, won several battles, but in the valley, the chariots of iron prevented them from winning a battle, but the Lord was still with them. The Lord does not change, and the Lord will see you through. Keep looking up, my friend. I know we live in a desperate day. I mean, I don't want to hear any media tomorrow. I really don't. I've enjoyed Sunday. I've enjoyed why Jesus is precious to me and the Lord's with me. So I don't want to hear the junk, but we'll hear it. But understand, as we face whatever we will face tomorrow, the Lord is with us. He's with you and he's with me, and the Lord will carry you through. Keep looking up. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help now in the closing moments of this service, that you'd help us to determine anew and afresh, dear God, that you will see us through. I know sometimes it's difficult to understand. We don't understand. Our ways are not your ways. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. But Lord, you have a reason for allowing us to go through whatever we do go through in the Christian life. And Lord, you're faithful to us. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we've had tonight to come together and to hear from your word. And I pray that you'd go with us tomorrow with a very bright outlook and a song on our lips and a prayer in our heart about folks around us who are lost. And Lord, we also would ask that you'd help us to be understanding of those who have drifted away from the Lord, those that have wandered away and need to be brought back. Help us to at least pray for them. Help us to love them. Help us to be understanding. But for the grace of God, there go I. Lord, I pray that you'd use us mightily in these days. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.